الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will have the third class related to the answer supplication in the month of Ramadan. And the answer supplications today are the supplications for the relief of calamity and sorrow. We learned that calamity, sorrow, and distress are all parts of the worldly life test. During these difficult times, a believer will turn to no one else but Allah for help, support, and guidance. A believer will need the only power that controls everything in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the sincere dua to Allah that relieves the spirit and lightens the darkness of sadness. Today, inshallah, we will learn four answered supplications for the relief of any calamity, distress, or sorrow. The first answered supplication is the supplication which is said by Umm Salama, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But let us first learn from the Quran about the distress. We will read now from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155, 56, and 57. I try to collect all the answered supplication related to calamity, distress, or sorrow. Okay, inshallah, in this class, we will read now first about distress from Surah Al-Baqarah. Rumilia, you come here, inshallah, to read with me. Surah Al-Baqarah is Surah number 2. And we will read verse number 155. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. 55. Surah number 2, verse number 155, 56, and 57. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون.
And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give glad tidings to Asabirun, who when afflicted with calamity say, truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. They are those on whom are the salawat from their Lord and mercy, and it is they who are guided, are the guided ones.
Okay. Actually, the meaning of these verses of the Quran, sisters, is that Allah is informing us that He is trying His servants with different forms of distress. For example, fear, destruction of the wealth, loss of the beloved ones to death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then giving gives the glad tidings to the patients, as-sabirun, whom when afflicted with calamity say, truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. A statement meaning the true believer realizes that Allah is the one who creates him, Allah is the one who plans his life, controls his decree, and decides the second of his death. Also to Allah we will return for judgment on the day of resurrection. This fact actually is enough for the believer to accept any losses or trials in the worldly life, as the worldly life is just a short test and we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Almighty praises those whom they are patient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's praise and mercy will be with those whom they are patient at the time of distress, and Allah is guiding them. From these verses of the Quran, we learn a very important Quranic rule, which actually, sisters, every one of us must memorize it. Truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. Okay, this is a Quranic rule. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us these words. And let us learn about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, no Muslim is stuck with an affliction and says, to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. O Allah, reward me for my affliction and compensate me with something better, but Allah fulfills His invocation. Okay, this is a very important supplication for any distress, that you call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His own words, saying to Allah, to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. O Allah, I will say it to you again, sisters. Okay, you say to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. This is the first answered supplication. O Allah, reward me for my affliction. This is number one. And compensate me with something better. If you say these words to Allah at the moment of the affliction, when someone will come and tell me, Sister Mona, Yusri failed in the exam, in the same moment, immediately I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I remember that Allah can reward me and compensate me, so immediately you say, to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. O Allah, reward me for my affliction and compensate me with something better. The supplication is, reward me for my affliction and compensate me with something better. Okay? Because, you know, sister, when you say these words to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, you are accepting the affliction. Okay? And number two, you have the hope that Allah, who can do everything, inshallah, can compensate for you with something better. You are clarifying to Allah that you believe in His power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will fulfill your invocation. One of the rightest Muslims at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name is Ummu Salama, she memorized these words, and she mentioned them at the time of the death of her husband. And then she thought about it and said to herself, who is better than my husband? Because her husband Abu Salama was a very righteous companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she was wondering, who will be better than her husband Abu Salama that Allah will compensate her with him? Actually, it was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the compensation for Ummu Salama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is better than her husband. Okay? It was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who asked her for marriage. This is a proof for the reality of this answered supplication. Okay? And actually, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, he showed that any Muslim who invokes Allah with this invocation, when afflicted with a calamity, his invocation, inshallah, will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, you must say at the second of the affliction. When you just learn about something which you don't like it in your life, okay, immediately you say this dua. Okay, I need to clarify to you this fact which is related to that dua especially. Okay, when someone will come and tell me, you, for example, Yusri failed in the exam, my daughter, I am not supposed to say first, why, what happened, I am very sad, I am not happy, she studied a lot, this is not fair. Oh, then, oh Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, reward me for my affliction. No, it will not be accepted like this. Okay, it is accepted. Okay, this is from the detailed research related to this supplication. It is accepted when you mention this supplication immediately at the time when you know about something which you have in your life which you don't like, immediately you say, to Allah we belong and to Him we will return. O Allah, reward me for my affliction and compensate me for something better. Okay, I need to clarify to you this fact so that you know, sister, all the time you will be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the goals of this affliction. I am all the time in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during prayer, during doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during doing my responsibilities in this life. I am in connection with Allah all the time. When someone comes and tell me a news which I don't like or a disaster or something, immediately, okay, I shift my thinking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately I remove this distress from my shoulder, okay, and I put it with the one who can take care of it and who can reward me for it and who can compensate for me something better than it. So all the time try to keep a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that He will make you to remember this dua at the minute of the affliction, and inshallah Allah will compensate for you. And I want you sisters to believe in these du'as which and supplication which I am giving you in these classes. These invocations, many people they tried before, and alhamdulillah they are the reality that Allah will compensate you for something better if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of the affliction. The second actually accepted supplication for the distress is the supplication of the three who took shelter in a cave. Okay, the supplication is, O Allah, relieve my distress if I had done for your sake, that deed for your sake. I will clarify to you the story of these three people whom they were in the cave, so that inshallah you can get the benefit of this dua also. Okay, this supplication is mentioned by the three who took shelter in a cave. Actually, those are not the people of the cave of Surah Al-Kahf. This is different. This is a hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, once three persons were traveling, suddenly it started raining, and they took shelter in a cave. The entrance of the cave got closed suddenly by the falling of a huge rock while they were inside. So these people, they were locked in a cave, and there was a huge rock on the entrance of the cave. So they were in distress. Okay? They said to each other, nothing can save us except our sincerity in doing good deeds. So each of us should ask Allah's help by referring to such a good deed. So they started to, they decided to remember the good deeds which they did it for the sake of Allah, and they will call on Allah with these good deeds to relieve their distress. One of them said, O Allah, you know that I had old parents whom I used to provide with milk every night. One night I was delayed, and when I came they had slept, while my children and my wife asked for the milk, as I used not to allow them to drink unless my parents had drunk first. So on that night, I disliked to wake up my parents, and I kept on standing, waiting for them to wake up until it dawned, until the time of the dawn. He was holding the milk, sitting beside them, so that they can wake up and they can drink the milk. You see? So he is calling on Allah, O Allah, if I had done that for your sake, relieve my distress, our distress. So the rock shifted a little bit from the entrance of the cave, but not to let them out. The second said, O Allah, you know that I had a cousin who was most beloved to me. I sought to seduce her, but she refused, until she was in a need of a money, so I gave her the money on condition of having her surrender to me. The moment I was about to have of her what I have been longing for, she said, be afraid of Allah. O Allah, if I have done that, leaving her to go without touching her and also giving her the money. If I have done that for your sake, then relieve our distress. So the rock shifted a little bit more away from the entrance of the cave, but not to let them out. The third one said, O Allah, you know I had employed laborers who worked for me, and to them I had given their wags, except for one of them who departed and whose wags were at my hand for a long time. One day he came back and he asked me for his wags, so I said to him, go to these cows, camels, sheep and slaves. They are all yours. So he said, don't mock at me. So the man said, I am not to deride at you. The laborer drove them all. This means that that man, he kept the money for that laborer who left for a long time, and the money increased and increased, and he bought for him cows, camels, sheep, and slaves. When the man returned back, he didn't give him just the amount of money which he left a long time ago. He gave him all what he bought with that money. Okay, he was very honest with the money of that person. So he called on Allah, O Allah, if I have done that for your sake, then relieve our distress. So Allah relieved them, Allah removed the rock completely, and they came out of the cave walking. So now, sisters, let us learn about this supplication, answer supplication, and how we can get its benefit in our worldly life. We must learn from this supplication, sister, and from this story that your good deeds are your way for the relief of your distress. The more you do good deeds, the more you have trust that all the distress in my future, inshallah, will be relieved. The benefit of the good deeds is not for the one you do for him the good deeds, it is the one who is doing the good deed. Okay? So, the conclusion from that story, sisters, is that you must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Those whom Allah is allowing them to do the good deeds, it is not only to help others. In reality, it is for their own sake. Because the more you do good deeds, the more Allah will get you out of the distress. And actually, this is something which is known basically in Islam. When you notice that someone is doing a lot of good deeds, you tell to yourself, that person is very intelligent. Because he knows the reality. He knows that Allah is the most merciful. That person is not doing these good deeds only for others. In reality, he is doing these good deeds for himself. Because at any time, when you call on Allah with your good deeds, be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you an outlet from any distress. There is one condition regarding to that, is that these good deeds must be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Okay, and this is clear from this story. When they called on Allah, one by one, they said to Allah, O Allah, if you know that this is for your sake only. Okay, and this is, sisters, is the proof that in Islam, Allah only accepts the sincere good deeds. What is the meaning of this? This means that the good deeds for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the showing off, not for the sake of to get compensation from the people later on, not for the sake of any worldly material issue, only for the sake of Allah. Okay? So, learn the important lesson from that story. Whenever there is any opportunity to do a good deed, run to do the good deed. And be sure that it is for your own sake, in the worldly life and in the hereafter. And all the time try to look around and say to yourself how most of the people are foolish regarding, you know, how to have the relief from their distress. Most of the people, when someone is in help, Okay, they will not help. Someone is in need. No, 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 I need the money. Someone is in need, you know, for guidance. No, 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 I don't have time. I am very busy. I am tired. This time is for me and my family. I have to take care of myself. I am very selfish. Okay? And they are under the impression that they are keeping the time, the effort, and the health for their own selves. So they are very intelligent. They are extremely foolish. Okay? And this is the proof. Okay, the more you do good deeds, the more you have the trust that the future is safe, inshallah. Because I will call on Allah at any time. Alhamdulillah, the more I have good deeds, He will give me the trust. Mona, don't worry. When you become sick, call on Allah with the good deeds. Inshallah, He will make for you an outlet. When your daughter is not good in the school, call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah will send for her help. When you have any financial problem, don't worry. Call on Allah with your good deeds. How I will not worry? I will not worry because of my good deeds, which I am trying and I am running day and night to do the good deeds. So this is the lesson which most of the Muslims must be aware of. Because if everyone will run to do the good deeds, life will be different for every one of us, alhamdulillah. And we will love each other. And we will be in a different situation regarding each other. And our future will be different. There will be no distress in the future for any one of us. Because all praise to Allah, we all have our good deeds to support us in our future, inshallah. The third answered supplication for the distress actually is the supplication of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to Ibn Mas'ud, no person suffers any anxiety or grief and says this supplication, but Allah will take away his sorrow and grief and give him in their stead joy. Allah will replace the sorrow and the grief with joy. Okay, this actually supplication, sisters, again and again, sisters, you must have some supplication, you memorize it. Okay, keep it in your mind. When you keep on repetition of a supplication, okay, for example, every night in Ramadan, okay, have this supplication which we are learning in the month of Ramadan. Write it all in one page. I will try to make this in the last class of month of Ramadan, inshallah, and I will copy it and I will give it to every one of you. And keep this paper beside your bed. Every night read it until you memorize it. Alhamdulillah. When you memorize it, inshallah, at any time of distress or sorrow or calamity, you will notice that you start to say it, okay, from the depths of your spirit, okay, all praise to Allah. It will be a great source for relief, inshallah, and it will be an answered supplication. The supplication which I will mention to you now is a long one, okay, I will try to explain it to you. I mentioned it before, but this time I will try to explain it to you in more detail so that inshallah you will memorize it. Okay, this supplication is, I will first read it for you and then inshallah after the class I will give you the paper, you can copy it because it is a long one. You cannot write it all. Okay, and I will explain it to you and you will like it inshallah. The supplication is, O Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave, son of your female slave. This is part one of the supplication. Part two, my forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just. Okay, this is part two. Part three, I ask you by every name belonging to you, which you named yourself with, or revealed in your book, or you taught to any of your creation, or you have preserved in the knowledge of the unseen with you. Part 4, that you make the Quran the spirit of my life, the light of my chest, the departure of my sorrow, the release of my anxiety. If you say this dua, Prophet Muhammad said, Allah will take away your sorrow and grief and will give you joy instead. Now I will clarify to you the meaning of this dua, because sisters, when you do supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must be aware of the meaning of the supplication. You must be aware of the message which you want to say it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your supplication. You must feel the words of the dua, not just to mention the words while you are not sincere about it, while you are not aware of its meaning. It will not work. If you want the supplication to be answered, you must feel it and you must mention it to Allah while you are actually realizing its meaning. The first part of the supplication, you are saying to Allah, "Oh Allah, I am your slave, son of your slave, son of your female slave." This is number one. You are clarifying your knowledge and your recognition. You are recognizing Allah as the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and all the mankinds are His servants and slaves. I am a slave. My mother is a slave. My father is a slave. All the sisters slave. All on the earth are slaves, and you are the Lord. Okay? This is number one. Number two, you are mentioning to Allah, "My forelock is in your hand." This is number one. What else? "Your command over me is forever executed, and your decree over me is just." Your decree is just. Okay? Not like most of the people to whom they believe that the decree of Allah is not just. Okay, so that we will be saying the reality. Okay, in this supplication, you must say to Allah, "Your decree over me is just." When you say these words to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are clarifying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your true belief that your faith is in Allah's hand. This is very important, sisters, to clarify to Allah that you believe in His oneness, in His power, in His mercy, in His will, in His decree. This is very important, the belief in the decree. When you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "My fate is in your hand. My destiny is moving according to your plan. You Allah, you does whatever you please this with you. What you please is you Allah, you will do it with me." Okay? "I am your servant. Okay? I can neither bring benefit or harm to myself. I cannot bring about my own birth, death or resurrection. I have no power to alter your destiny." This is very important. If you want Allah to answer your supplication and to change your destiny, call on Him, saying to Him, "I cannot change my destiny." At that moment, with your supplication, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, can change your destiny. Okay? Then you tell to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are totally depending on Him, because He is the creator, the sustainer. Your own existence is subject to whatever Allah decrees. Allah is just, and what Allah wills, it shall be. Okay, this is the message of the second part of the dua. This part of the dua, sister, includes two cardinal aspects which are the core of the belief in Allah's oneness, in Allah's decree. The first is the confirmation that Allah's decree regarding His servant shall come into force, and the servant cannot escape it. The second aspect proclaims that Allah is just. This is extremely important. Most of the human beings are living with Allah, that Allah is oppressing me. Allah is putting in me a burden continuously. There is no time for me for relief in this worldly life. This is wrong. Through this dua, you are saying to Allah, "Allah, you are the just. You don't oppress me. Whatever you decree for me is out of your justice and knowledge of my needs." Okay? And when you say this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part two, I ask you now, you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He has 99 names. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned His 99 names. But we don't know. Maybe Allah has other names which Allah keep it, preserve it in His knowledge of the unseen. So in this supplication, you are calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His names, okay? And then you ask Allah to make the Quran the life of your spirit and the light of your chest and the departure of your sorrow and the release of your anxiety. Why, sisters? Why in this answer supplication we ask Allah that the Quran will be the departure of our sorrow and the release of our anxiety? Because Allah said about the Quran that the Quran is a cure and a mercy for the believers. Okay, Allah said, let us read this verse of the Quran so that you know one of the characters of the Quran. Why I am in need of the Quran to be the source of the departure of my sorrow? Because the Quran is a cure. So I need the cure of the Quran. I need the Quran to cure me. To cure me from what? From the sorrow, from the anxiety, okay, and from the grief. Okay? So you must believe that the Quran is a cure, okay, from these feelings. Now we will read from the Quran to know about this, so that inshallah, sister, you must believe in this. Okay, this fact must be clear actually to every Muslim believer. The source of the cure for the spirit, for the body, the source for you not to have high blood pressure, not to have diabetes, not to have psychological problems, not to have immunity problems is the Quran. Okay, now we will read from Surah Al-Isra. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة الإسراء السورة number 17. Okay, to know about the Quran, that the Quran is the cure. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It's number 82 from Surah number 17. From Surah number 17, verse number 82. Okay, regarding the Quran as a cure. So that inshallah, I want to clarify to you also what is the meaning of the word cure, because sometimes it is misunderstood by some of the Muslims. Okay, let us read the verse of the Quran 82 from Surah number 17. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا.
And we send down of the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe, and it increases the salimun, nothing but loss.
Yes. Now I want to clarify to you, sister, what is the meaning of this verse of the Quran. First, I need to clarify to you a very important, okay, regarding the Quran. Allah is clarifying that we send down of the Quran that which is healing and a mercy. Okay? Sister, the meaning of a healing is that it is not just to recite the Quran and then to say, now I have healing. Okay? Some people, when they recite the Quran, okay, as a cure, okay, and they say that, for example, read Surah Al-Fatiha, read Surah Al-Rahman, read so and so surah, okay, and they move it on your body or put it in water or whatever, and it is the cure. The Quran is a cure because of its message. Okay, when you realize the message of the Quran, this worldly life is deceiving enjoyment. Okay, wealth and kids are just adornment. Okay, the better is the other life. Okay, you must fulfill your duties. Your husband is your responsibility or your trust. Your kids are your trust. Life is a test. This is the cure of the Quran. The cure of the Quran is through the rules of the Quran, the principles of the Quran. Okay, when I realize and I understand the rules of the Quran, I realize the truth regarding the worldly life. This is how the Quran is the cure, because the Quran will clarify to me the truth. Okay, when you do a good deed, do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you will get its benefit in this life and in the hereafter. hereafter. Forget completely about the human beings because they are just a handful of dust. They don't have will, they don't have power, they cannot bring benefit, they cannot prevent harm. These are the rules of the Quran which will cure my spirit. How it will cure my spirit? It will make me to connect only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not fear any human being. I will not fear any distress or calamity. I will have all the trust in the power and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be all the time, all praise to Allah, in a stable psychological condition. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because I believe and I understand the rules of the Quran. Because the truth regarding the worldly life, regarding the human being, regarding the materialistic issues of the worldly life, regarding my destination, regarding the paradise, the hellfire, my trust in the worldly life, everything is very clear for me and in the correct position. Or in the correct, actually, situation in my mind. Accordingly, all my plans in my worldly life are correct ones. My way in life is a clear, straight way. I know my steps in the worldly life, and I know the power which is taking care of me. I am connecting with it 24 hours in the correct way, and it provides me with the mercy which I am in need of in the worldly life. This is the meaning of that the Quran is the cure for the spirit. Okay, if you want to have the cure of the Quran for your spirit, okay, try to believe. Try to believe in the message of the Quran, okay, and try all the time, okay, to believe that through this message of the Quran, I can be always in a good spiritual condition and in a good health condition. Again and again, sisters, I need to remind myself and to remind all of you that most of the illnesses of the body are related to the illnesses of the spirit. Okay? The cancer, okay, which is the worst disease nowadays, which a lot of people, may Allah cure them from it, okay, and the rest of the autoimmune diseases and the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, diabetes, hypertension, whatever, heart problems, all of these nowadays, they have the link with the spiritual illnesses, okay, because the spiritual illnesses are pressurizing the nervous system, they are pressurizing the immune system, and this is the cause of the illnesses. How I can take care of my spirit to have it all the time healthy? Through the cure of the Quran. Okay? Through the understanding of the realities. When I will have my daughter, she will fail once, what is the problem? What is the problem? Let her fail. She will learn next year and she will study. We didn't lose anything. When my husband will be off for some time, no problem. Allah wants to test us, and inshallah everything will be alright. When I become ill and sick and very severe, and this, all praise to Allah. This is the reality of the test. I will be patient. I don't care. And again, always remember to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. If I will return to Allah, me personally, what is the problem to lose 1 year? What is the problem to lose some money? What is the problem to lose some part of my health? If I will lose my everything, I will lose myself and I will die. This is the message of the Quran. We will return to Allah. Maybe I will return tonight. People are not believing in the Quran. If you believe that you may die at any second, you will not be worrying, feeling the worry about any materialistic issue. About anything. Why I will worry about my ring or my shirt or my watch or my home or my car? 100% I will lose them. 100%. When? Allah knows. Maybe tonight, maybe after half an hour. Nobody knows. This is the reality. This is the message of the Quran which is giving me the cure. So I don't worry about anything. I just worry about the day of resurrection, about the real life, when I will meet Allah. And in order to be not worried about the day of resurrection, I am trying to do good deeds all the time. I am connecting with Allah and obeying Him according to His rules. If you live your life obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling your trust to your husband, to your family, to your sisters in Islam and to humanity, you will be living in mercy in this worldly life. Your heart will be always in peace. You will be always loving the good for everyone. All praise to Allah. No fear, no worry, no fear, no upset. All praise to Allah. Full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life of good deeds. And all the time Allah will make you to remember that paradise is looking for you. This is how the Quran will cure your spirit. Someone will come and tell me, Sister Mona, you were very healthy a year ago. Oh, why? What happens to you? This is not good. I am very upset. I tell her, no, don't be upset for me. May Allah reward you. I am so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants me to be one of the patient. I am accepting the decree. The rules of the Quran cured my illness. All praise to Allah. When Allah is testing me with the illness, Allah wants me to be from the patient. Allah wants to reward me. Allah wants to forgive my sins. It is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she will tell me, are not sad or sorry or this. I tell her, no, but just I ask Allah to give me the health to keep on doing the good deeds. This is what I am worried about. But I am not at all upset or sorry or sad about any of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the just. Allah is the most merciful. All these rules, you learn it only from the Quran. Okay, sister? Accordingly, in this answer supplication, you are calling on Allah to make the Quran the life of your spirit. When the Quran will be the life of your spirit, you are never worried. You never have fear. You are not after the materialistic issues of the worldly life at all. Because you will be actually accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be always feeling that it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the circumstances of my life. If there is something which I don't like, I am sure it is better for me. But I am a human being, no wisdom and no knowledge. But Allah, the most merciful, I am sure is planning the best for me. This is how the Quran will cure you. This is when the Quran will be the life of your spirit and the light of your shift. All the time you have the light. The right is clear and the wrong is clear. You are never confused. Alaykum as-salam. Again, sisters, I'm trying to read regarding the Quran, how the Quran is the cure. Because actually nowadays most of the Muslims are not reciting the Quran, and in reality they are not believing that the rules of the Quran will be the source of the cure and mercy in their life. And because of that, most of them are living a miserable life. Even if they are rich, even if they are highly qualified, even they are prestigious, but in reality, their spirit will never feel the feeling of comfort and peace and acceptance, because you cannot learn these feelings except when you realize the message of the Quran. Again and again, sisters, if you want to live the best worldly life, try to have the Quran as the cure for your spirit. Recite the Quran daily, even one page every day. But don't lose the connection with the Quran. If you lose the connection with the Quran, gradually you will not be able to pray a sincere prayer. If you don't pray a sincere prayer, forget about Islam. Forget about the belief in Allah. Forget about the mercy in the worldly life. Forget about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will be living like the rest of the human being. Just a body to eat and to drink and to marry. Okay? But there is no life for your spirit. Because in this supplication, Allah, Prophet Muhammad is teaching us to call on Allah to make the Quran the life of my spirit. If you don't have the life of your spirit through the Quran, you will not have any life for your spirit. You will not have a light to clarify to you this is right, this is wrong. I will go in this way, I will not go to that meeting. I will be in touch with these sisters, I will forget about this group of people. How I know all of this? From the light of the Quran, and then the Quran will be the departure of your soul. As I am clarifying to you, when someone will come and tell me your daughter fell in the exam, I will tell her immediately. Okay, what I will tell her immediately? To Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. Oh Allah, reward me for my affliction and compensate for me with something better, and that's it. That's it. And then I forget completely, and I have a new plan for my daughter. There is no second for sorrow in my spirit for that, because all praise to Allah. I mentioned the supplication, the answered supplication for distress immediately, okay, and I move on. I move on immediately. I will not waste my life as most of the people are wasting their life. Why this happened? Why it happened? It was not supposed to happen. What we can do? We don't like it. How we can change it? Let us cry. Let us fight. Let us lose our time and our health and our relation and a miserable worldly life. With no good deeds, there is no, those whom they don't accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make them to feel the happiness ever in this worldly life. Okay, so this is the third answer supplication. I am trying again and again to pressurize the importance of living the life according to the rules of the Quran, sisters, because this is the only way to save your life. To save your future, to save your kids, and to save your effort and your health, and to save the life to come, which is supposed to be the most important for the believers. Now we will learn the fourth answer supplication, which actually the answer supplication of Prophet Yunus, which he mentioned it when he was in the great distress. I will mention to you the supplication and the answer and the proof that it is an answered one, and I will clarify to you the meaning of this supplication, so that also if you can memorize this supplication, because actually Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever mentioned this supplication of Prophet Yunus, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, for him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah will surely fulfill his invocation. Okay, if you invoke with this invocation, calling on Allah to relieve your distress or your calamity or to reward you something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely fulfill it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the invocation of the noon, which is Prophet Yunus, if once invoked by a Muslim, Allah will surely fulfill it. Okay, we will know now the invocation from the Quran, surah number 21, verse number 87. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ ذهب مغاضبا فظن أن لن نقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. And remember the noon, Jonah, when he went off in anger and imagined that we shall not punish him, but he cried through the darkness saying, La ilaha illa anta, none has the right to be worshipped but you, O Allah, glorified and exalted are you. Truly I have been of the wrongdoers. Okay, I will mention it to you now, sisters. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. None has the right to be worshipped but you, O Allah, glorified are you. Truly I have been of the wrongdoers. Okay? This supplication is answered in the next verse of the Quran, verse number 88. Allah said, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So we answered his call and delivered him from the distress, and thus we do deliver the believers. Okay, Allah is clarifying that, so we answered his call and delivered him from the distress. Okay, this is the proof for this answer supplication. Okay, again, sister, None has the right to be worshipped but you, O Allah, glorified are you. Truly I have been of the wrongdoers. Okay? Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So now, sister, we will know about the story of Prophet Yunus. Actually, Prophet Yunus was sent to the people of the town of Nina near Iraq. They were idol worshippers. Prophet Yunus was sent to them to worship Allah, the One. They disliked his interference in their way of worship. So they argued, "We and our forefathers have worshipped those gods for many years and no harm has come to us." Try as he might to convince them of the goodness of Allah's laws, but they ignored him. He warned them, if they kept on their foolishness, Allah's punishment would soon follow. Instead of fearing Allah, they told him that they were not afraid of his threat. Let it happen, they told him. So he decided in that case he will leave them to their misery. He decided to leave them before getting the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He moved in the direction of the sea where he boarded a small ship in the company of other passengers. It sailed all the day in calm water with good wind. Suddenly, when the night came, the sea changed. A horrible storm blew, and as if it were going to split the ship into pieces. The waves looked wild. They rose up as high as mountain. So the chief crewman asked the crew to lighten the heavy load. So they decided to remove at least one person. The captain directed, "We will make lots with all of the travelers' names. The one whose name is drawn will be thrown into the sea." It was Prophet Yunus 3 times. So he knew that actually they don't wish to throw him to the angry sea because he was an honorable person. Therefore, they tried again, and for the 3 times it was his name. The matter was over. It was decided that Yunus should throw himself into the water. It was night when Yunus was in a minute thrown from the ship, so to be immediately swallowed by a whale. The whale swallowed him into his stomach and shut its ivory teeth on him as if they were white bolts looking the door of a prison. The whale dived the bottom of the sea that runs in the abyss of darkness. 3 layers of darkness enveloped him, one above the other. The darkness of the whale's stomach, the darkness of the bottom of the sea, and the darkness of the night. Yunus imagined himself to be dead, but his senses became alert when he found that he could move. He realized that he was alive and imprisoned in the midst of the 3 layers of darkness. At the middle of these layers of darkness, it was the power of hope that moved his spirit to call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping that Allah will accept his repentance and save him from that great tragedy. So his heart and tongue called on Allah with full sincerity and hope, "There is no God but you, glorified and exalted be you. Truly I have been of the wrongdoers." Through the power of the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Yunus continued in repeating this supplication. It was that supplication that saved him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his body, which was totally inflamed because of the acid inside the stomach of the wall, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a vine to grow to a considerable length over time to protect him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Yunus to recover when the wall threw him on an island. Gradually he regained his strength and he found his way to his homeland, where he was surprised by the change which has taken place there. Allah informed him that the people of his city, they faced a great storm, as he mentioned to them, and they gathered on mountains calling on Allah's mercy and forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him, and Allah made him to return back to his country. And again, sister, his city is mentioned specifically in the Quran. I want you to know about this, how the city of Prophet Yunus has a special condition in the Quran. This what I will mention to you now in Surah Yunus. He has a surah in the Quran with his name, and we will learn now about what happens to his city, so that we realize the power of the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of the supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Verse number 98 from Surah number 10, Surah Yunus. Okay, they are the only village which Allah, or the only town or community which Allah saved them. Okay, we will read now verse number 98 from Surah number 10. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلولا كانت قرية آمنت فنفعها إيمانها إلا قوم يونس لما آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين. Was there any town that believed and its faith saved it except the people of Yunus? When they believed, we removed from them the torment of disgrace in the life of the present world and permitted them to enjoy for a while. The only saved community or town is the community and town of Prophet Yunus, because they believed after he left them, so Allah removed from them the torment of the disgrace of the worldly life. So now, sisters, alhamdulillah, we learned four answered supplications regarding the relief from the calamity, sorrow and distress. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we always use them. And let us now make the dua, inshaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all love in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.